as the company liquidates its assets. In recent years, Redbox did incorporate a streaming component, but it was too little, too late. Jason Athenson, ABC News, Hollywood.
Had a good run. We used it there. It was in the pick and save.
Did you?
Not recently, but we did.
Right. Just yesterday we had it. Right. I guess that's yours to keep.
Live from the Annex Wealth Management Studios at the Avenue in downtown Milwaukee, this is Wisconsin's Morning News. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Petrano.
Hey, earlier in the program, we played some audio, looked back. It's been 25 years now since Big Blue came down on the construction of Miller Park. Sunday marks 25 years, and we have information about a ceremony that's going to take place before the game. And we also have audio that some people have asked about how they can get it. Audio of Bob Uecker. So 2 days after that happened was the first Brewers game, because the crane went down during the All-Star break. So the first game back was a Brewers-Royals game Friday night at County Stadium. And during the bottom half of the first inning, during the game, Uecker just talked about the crane and about everything that happened and about his time. I didn't realize he had been up in the basket before.
He's friendly with the number of the construction workers on site.
He would wave and honk at the iron workers, and it was almost therapeutic. Like whole 13 minutes of that inning, he sat and talked about what had happened and the tragedy, and he honored those iron workers. If you want to hear that, we posted the whole first inning, the bottom half, on the website. Just text the word crane. We'll play it again in the 8 o'clock hour portions, but text the word crane to the WTMJ talk and text line 855-616-1620. We'll send you a video of that day. We'll send you information about the ceremony and also that audio from Bob Uecker.
I'm going to pick on you for a second, but only because it's illustrative of a larger point.
Okay.
We're doing the chili story, right? And I said ribs and you said
Bloomin' Onion. That's not chili.
That's not chili. And you knew it right away, right? Yep, you corrected your mistake. You're like, no, that's, what is it, Outback?
It is Outback,
The Aussie Steakhouse, the Bloomin' Onion, right?
Please don't text it about that. Right. My mistake. I said Bloomin' Onion for chilies. That's not the case. They had some other type of onion dish.
I'm sure, right?
But I don't know. Anyway.
Well, maybe you're not fit to do this job.
Get the text up.
Is Eric's mental capacity so lacking that he's not fit to make this news? There's a difference between a gaffe and a misspeak and not knowing where you are or not being mentally fit. And that's part of the conversation this morning following the president's news conference, where he did have some notable slip-ups. First, at the NATO RAP news conference, he was introducing President Zelensky of Ukraine and said President Putin. Now, he, like you, quickly caught himself,
corrected it.
Referred to Vice President Harris, as Vice President Trump. Again, a misspeak, a gaffe, which politicians of all walks of life can do, any of us can do. But was it enough to convince Democrats who are both publicly and privately talking about whether he's at the top of the ticket? Doesn't seem like in a number of the reviews that I read from people who have talked to insiders that he hit it out of the park, that they saw everything they wanted to see on Thursday.
Which seemed almost impossible to do, though. I don't know how he was going to be able to, quote unquote, hit it out of the park.
So that conversation is hardly put to rest as the president campaigns today in Michigan. Meanwhile, you have a lot of folks right or left saying, these are the choices. Right? Yeah. So focus on, couldn't we have a third party candidate? What about an independent candidate? Well, independent candidate who's still trying to get on the ballot here in Wisconsin, Robert F. Kennedy Jr., is the topic of WTMJ conversations this weekend. Our Libby Collins asked him about the complicated relationship, yes, last name Kennedy, with his family, whose name is synonymous with Democratic politics.
Are you disappointed that more of your relatives, more of your family, aren't backing you?
We have a complicated family, and I love my family. You know, we were all raised to opposed to argue with each other, to argue with intensity, with passion, but also to love each other. I wish on my country the same thing. There's 5 members of my family who are working for the Biden administration and many others who have NGOs that are entangled with the administration. And so I understand, and my family has a 40-year relationship with Joe Biden, so I understand that a lot of them are upset. I also have close to half of my family is supporting me.
He didn't sound particularly well in that interview himself.
Oh, really?
RFK Jr., you can listen to WTMJ Conversations Sunday at 11 a.m. Libby shares her exclusive interview with that independent presidential candidate. She also talked with former Congressman Patrick Kennedy on why he is not supporting his cousin for office. 11 a.m. on Sunday, right here on WTMJ.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vitrano.
So the T-shirts read Undaunted. After the Brewers got their clock cleaned by the Pirates Tuesday night, Pat Murphy passed those shirts out to the entire team, Undaunted. And it worked because the crew then won Game 2 of the series 9-0. After Thursday, now what kind of shirts do you pass out?
1-0. Frelick, ground ball, left side. Hayes has it and throws him out. 7 no-hit innings from Paul Skeens. Man, that was easy.
I'm so tired of hearing the boat horn. Boat horn has been played way too much in this series.
That was a pitching boat horn, yeah. Right? That's getting mowed over.
Yeah, just barrel roll. No, I'm tired of hearing it. 7 innings, no hits, 11 strikeouts, 1 walk for Paul Skeens. The Brewers did get some hits once they pulled him from the game after 7. 99 pitches, so why did you pull him, Pirates skipper Derek Shelton?
Didn't have anything to do with the pitch count. Everybody makes it about pitch counts. It was about where he was at. It was about, you know, trust in your eyes, trust in him. When I went and talked to him after that, I mean, he was tired. They did a good job of wearing him down, and I mean, he gave us everything he had.
Yeah, so credit the crew for having some decent at-bats, I guess. It's a shame because starter Aaron Civale pitched really well, just a gem, but comes out with the L in the game. He's the guy they just traded for from the Rays. Up next, weekend series against the Nationals at American Family Field before the All-Star break. Plus, MLB draft is Sunday. We did ask GM Matt Arnold if he's got one of those shirts on.
Yeah, I'm all about a free shirt.
I don't know if he's going to wear it, though.
Today's shirt, slightly daunted.
Arnold says, yeah, slightly daunted.
A little bit more daunted than yesterday.
Arnold says that they all wear suits the first day of the draft. And he's the whole team in. He says everybody's in for it. The Brewers have 4 picks in the first round on Sunday.
You want your GM to sound like he sounds going into this, not like, huh, guys, this is a lot of work. Like, we're really under. He's no. Like, can't wait.
He's dialed in.
Big day. Cool. Loves it. Yep. Loves the theater of it and all that. Difference between this draft and like an NFL draft where you've watched these guys in college or you're aware of these names.
Don't
nobody
know
knows
any
who
of them.
Any of these people
and
are.
And they won't play in the bigs for years.
Might not see them for 4 or 5 years or ever.
Right.
So Brewers draft and MLB draft coming up on Sunday. 7:20 on Wisconsin's Morning News. So this weekend, things are going to really ramp up, obviously, for the Republican National Convention in Milwaukee. We're actually getting into things that happen, as opposed to hype and organizing details and whatnot. Today, in one of the odder news releases I've seen for the convention, here's the headline. Local youth to inflate balloons for iconic convention balloon drop.
Ooh, local youth are doing this, huh?
Which is standard convention conclusion, right? The nominee speaks, cue the music, it rises up, the delegates go crazy, and they drop all these red, white, and balloons all over the convention
tomorrow.
Hall. Yes, exactly. Pick your tune. I don't know when it started, but it's been going for as long as I can remember. Today at Fiserv Forum, media invited even. To watch the students from Milwaukee Public Schools blowing up balloons that will ultimately be perched above the stage.
Do they use a special canister, or are they actually just blowing up the balloons?
I hope. I mean, they're not filled with helium because they have to drop.
Yeah, they have to fall.
So I don't know if there's a bunch of kids.
Jeez, that'll take forever.
I'm blowing balloons for America. So that is happening today.
I can't wait.
Okay, more significantly, they're going to put the party in the grand old party. Country star Jason Aldean will headline a concert for delegates and ticketed guests on the Summerfest grounds. That'll be Sunday night. And it's that event that's causing the Hone Bridge to be closed for security reasons Sunday. So keep that in mind. That won't be closed for the duration of the RNC, but it looks like Sunday into Monday, the Hone from Bayview to Milwaukee will be closed.
The question is how much into Monday.
Right.
And those details are still a little hazy.
The host committee, which is nonpartisan. These are folks who are focused on not the politics of the convention, but on making sure every last one of these 50,000 visitors or so to our state this week leaves with a positive image of Milwaukee.
And we wring out every possible dime from their wallets.
Their first big shot at doing that is Sunday at Meyer Festival Park.
It really is the first impression that people are going to have. So it's a big task.
That's local event planner David Caruso of Dynamic Events. He's the creative director for the Red, White, and Brew event beginning at 6 p.m. on Sunday. He was a guest on Spanning the State. He says this will not be like Summerfest Light. They have transformed the grounds to be a unique experience that drives attention first toward this amazing space on the lakefront and also towards all things Wisconsin.
We've taken different areas of the festival grounds and created what we're calling zones. So there's a supper club. Ooh. There is, there's a sports bar. There is a cork and curd, like a Wisconsin winery. Yeah. There are these different kinds of zones within the festival park that from north to south, they're going to experience something different for food and beverage, entertainment, look and feel. It's really, really special.
And Caruso told Kristen Bryan, Brian Noonan there on Spanning the State, the vendors are going to be largely local, small and large, some of them the biggest names in Wisconsin hospitality.
The host committee has been very intentional about involving small local businesses in this party. And I feel really good about it. And I know that that sense about our great spirit of hospitality here in Milwaukee is going to be something that people from all over the country are going to experience at this party, which I'm really excited about.
So by Sunday, if not before, you'll have delegations checking into hotels across southeast Wisconsin as well. Even a few other welcome events planned for particular delegations on Sunday already ahead of the big party.
And I bet they're going to start rolling in even as soon as today.
You have to think, right? Go hang out at the airport.
Yeah, go to the ball game.
See who shows up. So it is on this event that we've been talking about really since 2018, because we began discussing the DNC in Milwaukee that largely, of course, did not materialize due to COVID. But then we immediately began focusing on whether, well, all right, could we do a convention? Like, we did all this planning. How about the convention? So it feels like we've been talking about this for 6 years,
right?
If not more. It is finally going to get underway this weekend here in Milwaukee. Writer for MLB.com on the Brewers beat, Adam McKelvey joins us for Brewers 360 at 7:45.
Could be a big day today in the manslaughter trial of actor Alec Baldwin, or it could be extremely anticlimactic. Could see some testimony. Let's see what happens.
The armorer from the Rust movie set is expected to take the stand as Alec Baldwin's involuntary manslaughter trial enters its third day. Prosecutors plan to call Hannah Gutierrez to testify to grill her about the shooting that killed cinematographer Helena Hutchins. Gutierrez is already serving an 18-month sentence for failing to secure the gun.
So here's why it could be anticlimactic. She's expected to plead the fifth. So if she doesn't say anything, it may not help the cause, or
is she still facing additional civil litigation?
Perhaps that's
why, because she's already been convicted.
Mm-hmm. As for Thursday,
on day two of testimony in the case against actor Alec Baldwin, jurors heard from a crime scene technician who investigated the scene. She testified that live bullets were discovered mixed in with dummy rounds in several places on the set of Rust. At first glance, both types of ammunition appear similar, but a slight color variation differentiates the two. During cross-examination, Baldwin's team stressed that live bullets should have never been on a movie set. Elise Preston, CBS News, Santa Fe, New Mexico.
As far as Gutierrez Reed goes, she is serving that 18-month sentence in Western New Mexico for her role in the shooting. She's already been transferred to Santa Fe for the trial. Prosecutors aren't commenting on what they expect to hear from her, if anything, today.
That's the one question I've never had answered is, How or why, for what possible reason, did somebody bring bullets onto a movie set?
That's right? Phenomenal question.
Just have them near the other prop ammunition.
Now, it wouldn't shock me if they try to word questions a certain way that prevents her from being able to plead the fifth. I mean, depending on how you ask, it could affect the answer. But it sounds like she'll be on the stand no matter what, face to face with Alec Baldwin for the first time in God knows how long.
This report brought to you by Steinhoffels. Visit them at steinhoffels.com.
What the hell is it? What's going on here? Okay, watch it, watch it!
25 years ago this Sunday marks the anniversary of the big blue crane collapse at the construction of Miller Park. 25 years ago this Sunday. It's been that long since that huge piece of tool
came down, that ginormous crane that was brought in special just for this event.
That's right. There was a lot of run-up. Like, people knew what Big Blue was. They knew the crane because there was a talk about how it was, like, one of a kind or one of only a few in the world. It was special and needed because this was such a big job. Mm-hmm.
It happened on a Wednesday evening. Former WTMJ traffic reporter Tom Carr was on the air and in the air. He was in a plane when it happened.
And I heard the sheriff's dispatcher say, we have a report of a roof collapse at Miller Park. And you could tell the tenseness in her voice. And I looked to my left, and all you could see was smoke in the air where the stadium was. And so I told my partner, let's get back there. And we just throttled the airplane and got there as quickly as we could.
And Tom realized once he got there just how bad it was, immediately was on the air.
But Tom, what do you got for us?
Actually, it's not a traffic report. Oh, okay. It's a Miller Park report. Part of the new roof has collapsed. The dust is now clearing. I'm just making my way around the stadium area right now. Looks like what possibly happened is a part that was hanging from the crane has dropped. It has dropped on top of the...
So coming up after the 8 o'clock news, we'll walk through some of what happened that day, what happened after, and... amazing audio, I believe, from Mr. Baseball, Bob Uecker. See, the Brewers were off. It was the All-Star break. So their first game back was Friday, so 2 days later, against the Royals at County Stadium. Bottom half of the first inning, 13 minutes long of just Uecker kind of almost therapeutically, not venting, but just downloading to the fans about what he saw, what had happened, his relationship with the Ironworkers. He'd wave at them. He'd been up in the bucket that these three that were in that were killed in. He was in that bucket earlier with Frank Busolacci, not that day, but earlier during construction. Meant a lot to him watching that stadium be built. So we'll bring you some of that audio coming up after 8 o'clock. Plus, if you want to get any of the information now, the video, all of that inning, we posted the whole bottom half of the first inning online right now. Just text the word crane, C-R-A-N-E, to WDTMJ Talk and Text Line, 855-616-1620. We'll send you all the info.
Brewers three more games before the All-Star break. We'll talk with MLB.com's Adam McAlvey on Brewers 360 next.
Time for an update from the Gruber Law Office's One Call, That's All Sports Desk. Here's Eric Bilstad and Vince Vitrano.
Well, you can't win them all. And you can't hit them all, apparently, either. The Brewers get no hit. Seven innings of no-hit ball from that masterful performance from Paul Skeens, the gem rookie from the Pirates. But the Brewers did get some hits after that. They still lose, though. 1-0. Up next, three-game series against the Nationals starting tonight right here on WDTMJ.
Brewers 360 is sponsored by Holiday Automotive. From MLB.com, Brewers beat writer Adam McAlvey, our guest on this Friday. Man, how good was this guy? I'm so glad Eric started talking about him early in the week. We had our eyes set on Paul Skeens, and he did not disappoint, I guess, if you were there to see good pitching, Adam.
Yeah, number one overall pick in the big leagues less than a year later, an all-star less than a year later. Really, really dominant. And, like, I don't know, I kind of thought we'd see a bunch of 100s. We saw one pitch north of 100 only. I'm using air quotes. But I mean, geez, even 98, 99, he's really nasty. And he looks like he is going to be a problem.
How does that happen? How does one guy, particularly as young as he is, come out and just be so much better than almost everybody? How does that happen?
Gene? I mean,
he's a super freak.
You see him. I mean, he is a big boy, and it doesn't surprise you that he can throw really hard for a really long time. You know, there was that cool. I know you guys are talking about it. That Uecker meeting. He's also really likable. It seems, which is maybe another problem for Brewers.
Oh, that's a shame, right? I really want to not like this guy.
You want to hate the guy, and it's hard because he comes to Milwaukee. And the first thing he asked for is to meet Bob Uecker, which is really cool for a young player. And, I mean, next to Uke, you guys saw those pictures. I mean, this guy's gigantic. Next to Yelich. So it's genes and it's training and it's, you know, look, you even though you're a Brewers fan and you want to beat this guy, you also root for health because –
right.
It's really cool for baseball to have a guy like that. I mean, he's doing stuff that already is bringing up the name Nolan Ryan. You know, to have two hitless outings of at least six innings with 11 strikeouts He is the first guy to do that multiple times in a season since literal Nolan Ryan, which is it's great for the sport.
So we have the All-Star break, Adam, coming up next week, and then they're back at it. And the storyline quickly will become the trade deadline, right? It will become, okay, who are they sending out or who are they going to try to get? Is there a small list right now? Are there names starting to pop up of who Matt Arnold might be looking at?
Well, not a small list. It's got to, the nature of today's trade deadline, and meaning like today's baseball, is you need to have a long list because the teams that are sellers, that list is very, very short. So the teams that have pitching to sell that are willing to deal, they have all the cards. And they all want to wait until the very, very end to maximize the return for these few assets that are available. And it creates a situation where a pitcher like, say, the name Cal Quantrill, who the Brewers saw pitch for the Rockies, he's a guy who's on the block, so to speak. He's going to fetch some huge price, even though he's had up and down season, which may be a pitcher from the Rockies you'd expect. But these guys are going to get a lot. So when a team like the Rays says we're going to jump into the market early and make some deals, like they traded Aaron Civale to the Brewers, they traded a reliever Phil Maton, they already made a deal. That becomes an opportunity. And I think credit to Matt Arnold for jumping in and getting a guy like Aaron Civale. He struggled in Tampa, but he's a year removed from being traded for one of the top 40 prospects in the entire sport. That's how he came to Tampa at last year's deadline. So I think the Brewers feel really good about adding that arm already. And I think they will continue to look for starting pitching, but it's got to be a long list because you don't know who's going to become available, and you know that it is going to come down to the wire, and you need to be prepared to make any number of deals at the last minute when the sellers finally are willing to sell.
All right, as we go to break and the All-Star break, home run derby, yay or nay?
Me liking it or not? I love it.
Yay! Well, yes.
Well, enjoy. Who would say nay to the home run derby?
Old curmudgeon-y people, Adam.
I know a few of those.
Stop it. You don't like the home run derby? Yeah.
You know what makes the old home run derby great is when you have kids that are baseball nuts. Like, I got two boys that love baseball, so seeing them get all fired up about it makes it fun to watch.
Well, enjoy that.
In Seattle, I was out there, and Adley Rutschman was peppering us in the auxiliary press box with home run balls, so maybe that was
why cool.
I think it's fun. I was diving for my life.
Talk to you after the break. Thanks, Adam.
Bye, guys.
7:51, Mark Townsend next on Wisconsin's Morning News.
Idea Man.
Are you someone that lights off fireworks? Are you lighting wicks? Are you doing anything, or is that you're steering clear?
Innovator.
You know who enjoys the 4th of July from a business standpoint more than anybody?
And Packers Hall of Famer.
Hand surgeons.
It's time for Tausch on Wisconsin's Morning News. Presented by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin and Kohler Services.
Mark Tausch on Wisconsin's Morning News, sponsored by Pella Windows and Doors of Wisconsin. You have fish in the house, Tausch? Your kids have fish?
Fish? Yeah, we have a goldfish that we won at the Sun Prairie Corn Days Festival 2 years ago, and I'm amazed that this puppy's still rolling. But yeah, we do.
So it's interesting.
What's
you
your
say
secret?
That. Sun Prairie Corn Days, that's where they have the good fish.
I don't know if I'd say that's where they have the good fish. The fact that the fish's name is Giannis, and that fish just continues to plug away. And I think when you bring those home, you kind of assume you got, 2-3 weeks?
So no, I bring it up because we're at the Independence Day celebration in Greendale, where I live, and, you know, there's bands and stuff like that, and a little carnival. Yeah, and my son, he wanted to leave early, so he's over like, I'm going to take, because we had two cars down there, I'm going to take the other car. He goes, okay. He goes, but I have to go pick up my fish first. Like, really? Do explain. So he won himself a carnival fish.
Nice.
That fish... gone. He felt real bad about it. I'm like, look, dude, carnival fish.
It didn't survive?
Oh, no. So he goes to the pet store yesterday. That fish, gone.
Already?
Already gone. And he's taken the best possible care of it. It's a tank. It's a filter. He put the little stuff in that's supposed to make the water okay. He did all 0-for-2 in about 48 hours.
I think we found the problem, because not to say we're neglecting, because we're not. We do not have a big, beautiful tank that this little goldfish now is getting bigger and bigger. We obviously feed it, but yeah, I mean, maybe you've taken too good care of it. Is that possible?
I keep trying to tell him. He's like, well, maybe the tank's not big enough. Maybe whatever. I'm like, fish have been surviving. I'm like, you brought that thing home in a bag? God knows what they're doing.
How long it was in there, though?
I think that, I mean, that you kind of start adjusting to your surroundings. So if you're living in one of these things and they drop a ball in it to win the fish, and then they fire you in a plastic bag to go home, and then next thing you know, you put them up at the Taj Mahal, they're probably looking around like, what the heck? I got too much space. Like, and they start freaking out, and that's maybe what happens to this fish.
Yeah.
He over-partied. This is amazing.
Or those fish were living in a bag for a week and a half. And then the one that he bought at the store was just a feeder fish that had a life cycle of a week anyway.
I think this is a classic potato patata deal. Like, I think it could be one or the other, and it could be both.
I think you're right, Tosh. The carnival fish, one of two things. It either lasts a matter of hours or days, or that thing's with you for years and turns into like this giant big old fish.
I really think it comes down to those first 48 to 72 hours, because as your son found out, boom. And then as we found out, I think this fish is going to continue on for a long time. And you know what? We couldn't be happier about it here at the Tauscher House.
Have a great weekend, Tausch.
See you guys.